Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Action Radio. This is Greg Penglis coming to you from the historic district of downtown Milton on the banks of the beautiful Blackwater River. And now let's get into Action Radio. I am so happy this morning. Ask me why I'm happy. Why are you happy, Greg? I'm happy this morning because we are live. We are live again. We are live across the world. We are live in Bangladesh and, the Czech Republic and all these new countries we keep popping up in. We lose some, too. We lost Thailand. So I guess Thailand got bored with us. We'll have to, increase our Thai, appreciation, information and things like that. But that's what's going on. So the world map keeps increasing. The whole idea of Action Radio is spreading. Our two most popular foreign destinations are Germany and Australia. Don't ask me why. I don't know. Something's going on in Germany, but I think we have to go there. And so we have to branch out Action Radio to some of these countries that are curious. Who knows? And I'm serious about this. There's no reason we can't set up a citizen legislature, in all these different countries and adapt to their systems and learn about their systems and, do a parliamentary Center for Citizen Legislation. I intend to set up a worldwide center here anyway in Milton, Florida. And so we'll be a clearinghouse not only for domestic legislation, but international as well. So we'll have to learn about monarchies and dictatorships. And I don't think we're going to have too much luck in the dictatorships. Wendy's already laughing. I know she's laughing. Wendy's on the line right now too. Anyway, I spent most of the morning with my calculator. And this is something I'm not very good at. I don't do numbers well. I think I'm dyslexic to a certain point, as well as ADHD. It's not a good combination. It's great for a radio host, but it's useless if you're punching calculator buttons. So as far as I know, the numbers are correct, but I can't swear to it just because I did my best. But they seem to work out okay. And so I did double check a whole bunch of stuff. And so we'll talk about that. We're going to be actuarials today. We're going to be bean counters. We're going to look at the cold, hard numbers of COVID and see if the predictions that we're getting from those numbers are going to follow through. All right, let's get to Wendy just a little bit. It's time for the Oh My God Report. Oh, I changed the name on the Oh My God Report. Instead of being an OMG so you can't find it, it actually says Action Radio Oh My God page or group or something like that. So that'll help out too. Anyway, back with Wendy in a second. If it goes on. Wait a minute, come on, guys. Oh, don't tell me that's a problem now. I don't have my promotions? This is ridiculous. Okay, so we were quiet for a couple of days. We couldn't let me bring Wendy on live. This is ridiculous. So now we get another problem. Wendy. Well, unless she's not
Hey,
live yet.
No,
she's
I
live.
Know.
Wendy,
good
what
morning.
Is it? First of all, we're not live for 2 days and everything's on podcast. Now I can't play themes.
Well,
yeah, you're live.
You
go
were
ahead.
On
Wendy?
For
Oh no, Wendy's not there either.
And you went off.
Well, let's try this again. Hang
Are
on.
You there?
Here we go. I can't hear
Do you really want the truth?
It's playing.
Do you have questions?
But
you
can't
ask
engineer. What are the engineers doing to us today?
Welcome to
Wendy,
the Oh My God Report.
I've got your line live.
Wendy Arthur is more concerned with truth than propaganda.
I
putting more
it.
Value in scripture than religion.
Just 20 seconds.
And more about you and your relationship with
Wendy
God
is saying
your membership in any church.
What are you saying? I'm back.
This
okay.
is Christianity
right, so,
with a kick.
I'm sending more messages. So there we go. We got that. All right. Let's see what's going on here. All right. So I'm going to wait till I'm not going to play the themes. We might have to skip our themes today.
Well,
let's try.
Well,
everything looks
played.
Like I'm live. Wendy?
Yeah.
Are
the
you
theme
there?
Played.
Right, I'm going to mute her line. I'm going to try to make her line live again. See if that makes a difference.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
I'm
this
here.
Is
going to
be
Are
a
you?
Long show today, folks, if it's just me talking for 2 hours. Wendy?
Yes. Hello.
All right.
Hello.
And unfortunately, I
Are
can't play
there?
Anything either. That's the other problem. Okay.
Uh-oh.
The message says she's
Hello?
Left. Okay, we're getting a message back from Wendy because I can't hear Wendy. Okay, so Wendy can hear me. I'll tell you what. I'm gonna ask her to call in again. All right, I'm not going to play any themes today, which I really hate because I love my themes. But let's see if we can do it without themes. And so, Wendy, we're going to let her line go. And I don't think I have too much. All right, I'm just going to hang up on Wendy. I'm sorry about these technical things. Like I say, it literally is completely out of my control because it's what the engineers are doing. I don't know what the engineers are doing at Blog Talk. But it's what I do is, just to let you know, I have a board in front of me. I can't even hang up on Wendy's phone. That's how bad it is. And so something is definitely, it's like car mechanics. You know, you fix one thing and something else goes out. I think that's what's happening here. They fix the audio. So we're definitely live, but I don't know if anybody can call in. All right. This may be the 2 hour. This is going to be the longest show you've heard for a long time. If I'm the only one talking, I can't even hang up on Wendy. Can you hang up on yourself? Let's see if she can hang up herself. Theme did play. Oh, that's interesting, but I can't hear it. Well, that's weird. I can hear myself. The theme definitely played. I heard the theme play, but I didn't hear Wendy's theme play. Wendy's writing me a message right now. I still can't hang up on her. The only thing I can think to do, and this may or may not ruin the whole episode, is that what I've occasionally done is literally. All right, let me see if I can get Wendy's phone back. I actually tried to hang up on Wendy. It didn't work. So no, it's still not working. I'm going to try something here. And if it doesn't work, then the whole show's messed up. But let's reset. And it didn't work either. Okay. The only thing I can do is end it and restart it. Wendy, call in again. Hang up your line and just call in again. I can't hang you up from here. So there we go. Oh, guess what? Oh, that's interesting. They just took me offline completely. I've got a message now that says, oops. Website under maintenance. Our engineers are working hard. We'll be back online shortly. Oh, good. They can be back online shortly. Isn't that nice? So I'm just going to keep, I don't even have my page anymore. This is good. We're going to be a little delayed this morning, folks. It might be a shortened version of the show. I don't know what's going to happen. All right. They're working hard to put us back online. So I can't talk. I can't do anything. Well, let's see how long it takes. I might just stick around for a while. All right, let me go over some stuff now, some background for you. Let's do that. And Wendy, as soon as you can, as soon as you hear, all right, so Wendy's online, but I can't hear. I don't think anything's online right now. It looks like they've taken it off the air. So Wendy, if you can still hear me, let me know. This may just end up in the podcast. This may not end up at all. I may have to do this over again, but we'll find out. Website under maintenance. Our engineers are working hard. We'll be back online shortly. What does that mean? What does it mean to be back online shortly? Huh? How shortly? Shortly. I'm in the middle of a show. Guys, let's try something else here. Let's talk to my favorite person. Hang on. Okay. I'm writing, but I'll be right back to you. I'm just writing blog talk. I don't know if it's going to help at all, but I'm going to try writing blog talk. All right, they're still doing the oops thing. In fact, I can't even end the episode. I don't even know if I'm still on or not. You know what I could do? We're still talking through Facebook. Okay, yeah, we can do that. All right. Wendy, can you... I'm going to talk to Wendy. She's on Facebook, so I'm going to read her messages. Wendy, can you still hear me? Am I still broadcasting? A simple yes will do. Okay, all right. So I'm still on the air, so this is going to be a podcast. So, Wendy, as soon as they get rid of the oops screen, I'll get you on. But I can give some background now. And tell folks what I've been working on. All right, so this morning what I was working on, and I'll check back on Facebook in a little bit. You know that chart I've been broadcasting? I've been doing this for about 2 weeks now. There's a chart I found for the National Center for Health Statistics. It seems to me the most accurate chart that I found with this whole corona stuff. I never did believe in the whole social distancing thing. The whole mask thing seemed absurd to me. Limiting groups. It all seemed like propaganda. So I looked around for a decent source of information. And the first one I found that actually makes sense is this provisional death count for coronavirus disease from the National Center for Health Statistics. And why I find that different is that this is a branch of the CDC, but it doesn't seem to be corrupted by the CDC. These folks seem to have actually dealt with the numbers, you know, cold, hard numbers crunchers, all right? And so these people are wonderful. They do what they do. And if you look at this in terms of death count, I know that's kind of, like I say, cold, hard, and numberish, but the numbers just jump out at you in a staggering way, all right? So you'll have that bar graph. Go to my Facebook page, all right? And you'll look and you'll see this bar graph with all these lines. If you go to the website, in fact, just right now I'm going to post this on Facebook just in case you don't have this for any reason, all right? Because this is critical to understanding, you know, what's going on here. All right, so if you go to my Facebook page, Greg Penglis, you know, let me see, I'm just going to put this here. I have to rearrange a couple of things, and you'll see I've got the numbers there. Here's the address for the chart once again. All right, so there it goes. So I'm just posting it right now. And I've never done a show like this before. I'm talking to people. You can't talk to me, yet I can get your messages on Facebook and still send stuff out on my Facebook page. So we're actually doing – this is kind of weird. All right. So if you look at my Facebook page, you'll see COVID-19 provisional counts, weekly updates by select demographic and geographic characteristics. What you want to do is scroll down that chart until you see this something that looks like a very large mountain with an incredibly steep side on the left and a not quite a steep side on the right. Okay. That's your flattened curve, folks. That's the one they keep talking about as the you know, all the things they wanted to do is the social distance, the masks, all this kind of crap to slow the spread. Well, we just revealed yesterday something that I found from an article, actually March 11th, that this pharmaceutical guy who also worked for Bill Gates, who's working for this Japanese company that's developing a vaccine for corona. This is the guy who's briefing Congress, right? Revealed that everybody's going to be exposed to this virus. My contention now is everybody has been exposed to this virus, you know, one way or another, except the most vulnerable who are still sheltering, unless you're in a nursing home, you know, where one of the governors, you know, put someone with the disease in there with you, which is like smallpox to Native Americans kind of thing. It's genocidally stupid. Anyway, if that didn't happen, you know, then chances are you've been exposed to this. I know I have. I mean, I can just tell. And there's no point in taking an antibody test anymore because the antibodies, they say, you know, go away after a few months anyway, which makes sense. I'm sure the memory of the disease is there in your body. But why would your body keep track of all these different diseases all the time when it really has to use this energy to fight whatever disease is with you? So I came up with a new concept today called national immunity. All right. If the contention is that everybody gets exposed to a virus, all right, and, you know, you get this herd immunity, you know, at some point, if everybody's exposed to it, then either people are going to get sick. Very few unfortunate folks are going to die of it. And everybody else is either going to be immune, develop an immunity, you know, get a minor, you know, symptom or no symptoms at all. And you're not even going to notice that you had it. So in other words, in the course of a winter, everybody's is exposed to the flu virus. Everybody. Okay. A certain percentage of people are going to get sick. A certain percentage of very unfortunate folks who are older and weaker are going to die, and everybody else is going to be fine. Okay, so why do you need a vaccine? You know, if you're already immune, you don't need a vaccine. Okay, you know, if you're older and incredibly vulnerable, vaccine's probably not going to do you much good. You know, but this whole idea of a chemical cure, you know, rather than develop your own immune system. So if this is the case that everybody gets exposed, then everybody who doesn't get sick or everybody who does and gets over it, you know, by the end of the year is immune. Well, why wouldn't that work for this virus? Why wouldn't that work for COVID? Why wouldn't this work for the coronavirus? And if you look at the numbers, it seems that that's exactly what's happening. So herd immunity is where enough of the population is immune that the virus can't spread anymore. I'm introducing a brand new concept that I just thought of this morning called national immunity. So in other words, enough people are exposed nationally where this thing just dies out. And that's what it looks like is happening. So if you go to my chart of the actual numbers by week, they do it by age group. So when we can call in again, all right, when you can call in again, I'm going to just check. I'm still sort of paranoid that I'm going to shut off at any time. So I'm going to be looking at Facebook and look at Wendy. I've got Wendy and Dan comes on at 7:30. As long as you folks tell me I'm still on. If you guys don't hear me, then send me a message. I'll check in it periodically. But I can't look at all these things all at once. So I'm going to have to move messages and I'll see when they send me something. So as long as I'm broadcasting, just leave it alone. And I'll let you know as soon as I think you guys can come on too. Anyway, so the two charts, the curve chart and the other chart, and I'm still getting the maintenance thing saying we can't talk. All right. And if anybody can stick around for the second hour, I don't know if Wendy can do that or if Dan can do that. Usually not. You know, like I said, this might be a 2-hour monologue. This is going to be a long day, but I'll give you the information today and we can talk about it tomorrow. Like I say, I don't mind improvising. All right. So you got two charts that I want you to look at, right? One is the bar chart, and I can go over those numbers individually too. And the other is the death count by week. Now, I spent a lot of time calculating this morning, but look at these numbers, all right? The first week I picked was February 29th. And so the way this works is they take the total from death certificates at the end of the week, and those that are of COVID-19, the real ones, I hope, those are the ones that are listed. So at 229, so February 29th, we already knew about the pandemic. It had already been declared as far as I know. This is the end of February. That's when I discovered chloroquine on February 27th, and we broke the story on March 2nd. So we already knew there was a virus circulating from China. And how many people died that week? 5. Okay. Now, is that enough to induce a national panic and throw masks on and close schools and lock down? No, but they were already thinking about it. Okay. You know, it wasn't that much later that, let's go on the next week, March 7th, weekend in March 7th. How many people died of COVID? 34. Still, not a huge number when you keep in mind that 50,000 people on average die every week in America. So out of 50,000, if 5 people die of corona, what's that? That's an apostrophe. You know, that's an ending count. That's a minor glitch. All right. Now the increase is huge and it's coming very fast. And this is what I find so fascinating. Okay. So the week ending March 14th, 52 people died. What happened March 15th? Trump locks down the country. Okay. So how is it that 52 people died? I'm sure, you know, 300 or 400 people died or maybe 100 people died on the freeways. 52 died of coronavirus on a week ending March 14th. They knew this. Okay, they knew this at the National Center for Health Statistics because they published it. Okay, they're the ones collecting the data. So they knew that in the middle of March, we'd only lost 52 people. The first week of March, we lost 34. And the last week in February, we lost 5. And yet, they'd already had models predicting 2 million dead from England. And Dr. Fascist had predicted millions dead in this country. And I think they both had this 2 million figure. And I still contend that 2 million figure was because 1.8 million was the threshold of Category 5 under the original 2007 guidelines before they changed them. Okay. So the CDC had these really good guidelines. They had it by category. All right. So basically, this is a category. It would now be considered a Category 2 pandemic. All right. Where they still have recommendations of things, you know, that might be closed, but they don't even recommend it's closed. It's like an option. So if you want to work on the schools, you want to do some things like that, you know, you want to hold the jobs back a bit, you know, they say, yeah, it's not necessary yet. Okay. That's under the old guidelines. The new guidelines, of course, they went to full lockdown immediately. And that's why they changed the guidelines. Still trying to get an investigation on that, but we'll work on it. All right. Next week, March 21st. All right. So now we're a week into Donald Trump's, you know, alleged lockdown that was supposed to end March 1st. How many people died? 561. Now that's a big change. That's 10 times the week before. That's a big jump. It's no flattening of the curve there, folks. That's huge. 10 times the amount of the week before? That's big. Okay? That's probably one of the largest jumps there is from mid-March, from the week ending March 14th till the week ending March 21st. He went from 52 dead to 561 dead. Now, overall, that's still not a huge amount of people out of 50,000. It's like, 1%? 5,000 would be 10%, 500 would be 1%. All right. That's still 1% of the weekly death total for the whole country. But you can see that's a big jump from the week before. All right. March 28th, 3,128 people were killed by the COVID-19 virus. And so that's the end of March. Now, you remember April 1st, the country was supposed to open up. You know, we're supposed to have slowed the spread. The president said, okay, we'll do this for 2 weeks, April 1st. That actually, in retrospect, you know, first of all, the lockdowns don't work. They never should have happened in the first place. But that was a stupid idea to only, if you were going to do a lockdown, if you believe this is actually working, why would you only do this for these 2 weeks? And look at this jump. You get from March 28th, 3,128 people killed, to April 4th, 9,908. Okay, that's 3 times the amount. All right, now that's a lot more people. It's not as big a jump as from mid-March to March, from March 14th to March 21st, which is a 10 times jump. This is still 500 to 3,000 is what, 6 times? 5, 6 is 30? Yeah. So that's 6 times the amount. So the rate is actually slowing, even though the numbers are vastly increasing. So the curve's already slowing. Okay. Now, the numbers are bad, but the curve is already slowing. The biggest jump actually is from March 14th to March 21st, where the amount of people killed were 10 times the previous week. All right. And I'm just looking at the numbers. All right. And again, I'm going to check my Facebook, make sure I'm still, see if I have any nasty notes. Nope, we're still broadcasting. Okay. This may be the most boring show we ever do simply because it's all numbers. But I can't play themes. They've got a maintenance thing up. My show is blocked, and so there's not much I can do. They're still saying, oops. We're working hard. We're trying to fix it. I'm going to try to do the website one more time, see if it refreshes. No. Okay. Back to the monologue. All right. So this is the fun of radio. This kind of stuff happens. You just have to deal with it. So we get our live show back, and what happens? I can't talk to anybody. Did the screen refresh? The screen refreshed, but it's still on the maintenance screen. Let's keep going here. Hopefully this analysis is interesting to you, and that you're looking at your Facebook page and you have the bar graph and the others. And if you click on the bar graph, if you scroll down on the site that I post at the top of my Facebook page, you know, you'll see the interactive nature. You can scroll along that line graph and it'll give you the exact totals by age group, but they don't give you the total, which is why I had to get the calculator out. All right. So we're the first week in April, April 4th. The lockdown was supposed to be open April 1st, according to the president, but this is somewhere along where the governors, I'm not sure the exact timeline, but somewhere in here, the governors started locking down their states. And this is where I think Dr. Fascist went behind the president, because Fascist knew that the president's guideline lockdown was going to end April 1st and we're supposed to get back to normal then, right? Okay. So he goes to all the governors. And I know he did this because he said, I talk to the governors every day. Okay. My question was, why? Why do you talk to the governors every day? Okay. No one ever answered that question. Well, of course, I haven't asked, you know, they don't invite me to the White House press conferences. They should. I'd ask questions that, you know, the first question I'd ask of Dr. Fascist is, can we see your tax returns and can you disclose how much money you're making from vaccine companies and the patents that you own? That'd be the first question I would ask and look for conflict of interest. But, you know, we have the journalists in Washington have a deplorable lack of curiosity. And so they don't do that. Anyway, so back to my rambling analysis here. Yeah, it's very I'm trying to get, like I say, timeline. Okay, so Dr. Fascist goes behind the president, talks to the governors. Democrat governors, of course, love this because it's a rule economy before the election. All right, what better way to do it than to use this crisis, use this pandemic to do it? But it gets very interesting here in just a couple of weeks. So we're April. April, the lockdowns, everybody's shutting down, everything's going crazy. You know, the masks are coming out and the schools are closed and the beaches are closed and the businesses are closed. Government's wide open, though. Okay, government's still wide open. Yeah, government never closed. Why? Because they're essential. You know, the state is essential. Your business is not. You know, food is essential, which makes sense. We don't want people, you know, dying of starvation. But everything else isn't, you know, unless you're in government. Because government never shut down. Government never cut back. Government never had to go to 25%, 50%, 75%. They never did. They're still at full. They're still getting all their money. They're getting their pensions. They're getting the health benefits. They're getting everything they always get. It doesn't matter whether the government employees work or not. They still make the money. You know, it's a very interesting position to be in. So the governors are locking down. I think they're coordinating with Dr. Fascist to destroy the economy and keep people distracted until the election. Now, something happened later on that the economy actually started rebounding, you know, as some of these lockdowns, you know, were eased in certain states, and actually the good states, they never happened in the first place. Florida doesn't happen to be one of those good states. We still had a dictatorship by Governor DeSantis, not as bad a dictatorship as some of the other states. So one could say we have a more benevolent dictator in Florida than some of the other states, but we have a dictator nonetheless. And I will never vote for DeSantis again simply because he did a lockdown. And he should have known better. Lockdowns don't work. You don't shut down here because we've never done that. You know, you say, well, we didn't know what was going to happen this time. Of course you did. It's a virus. You know exactly what's going to happen. It's going to spike and then it's going to go down as we get immunity. Okay. That's what happens. You protect the vulnerable, you treat the sick, and the healthy people, you leave them alone. That's how you do it. Back to the chart. Oh, still got my maintenance thing. We still can't do anything yet. The engineers are keeping us in suspension here. All right. So April 4th, 9,908 people died. These are the bad weeks right here. April 11th, April 18th, and April 25th, the week ending. So April 11th, 16,014 people died. Okay. That's bad. That's from 9 to 16. That's not quite twice. That'd be about a 75% jump. My math is terrible, but that's what I figure, okay? But what's interesting is that's a lot lower than the jump from 3,000 to 9,000 the week before, which is a, 300% jump, three times the jump. And then the jump from 500 to 3,000, that's 600% jump. That's six times the jump. And, of course, the biggest jump is from 52 to 561 is 10 times the jump. So the ironic part about this is the worst part of this pandemic, the sharpest jumps were in the early part. And after that, it didn't get better, but the rate of increase got substantially less. So by March 21st, in the middle of the original president's lockdown, this disease was already slowing. The rate of increase was already slowing. I find that fascinating. I don't know why that's not worldwide news. Okay, I don't know why most of the stuff I'm talking about this morning isn't worldwide news. Well, why, because it doesn't fit the narrative. All right. It doesn't fit the narrative of keeping you in panic, keeping the economy destroyed, keeping people locked down, and ruining Trump's election. That's what this is all about. There's no other justification for it because the pandemic's almost over. And we're going to find out. We are going to find out sometime today. And, of course, I'll post it immediately. I'm off today. So I get to hang around and keep checking the website and seeing when the July 15th was the last one. So this is the 22nd. So 7 days later, this is the next one. The next update's coming today. I bet you, I'm just going to take a guess, being my actuarial self. Last week, 338 people died. I'm going to say somewhere between 150 and 200. Let's say 175. Let me make a prediction. This death toll is going to be about 175. Next week, it's going to be about 50. And it may hover around 50 for a long time, between 50 and zero. I don't think this is ever going to go away completely. I think people will always, get sick and die from it. But I think the numbers will be so minuscule that it won't matter. And yet they're still going to have the panic. They're still going to talk about the lockdown. That's going to be really interesting to see, okay? Because I'm not the only one that has this chart, okay? This chart's publicly available. Anybody can get it. Let me do a little Facebook check again. Make sure there are no notes saying I've been cut off. Dan sent me a note. And let's see what Dan says. I know the site's down. But Dan, can you hear me still? Dan says the site is down. Am I just talking to myself here? Yeah, let me do a check. Let me get Wendy, see if Wendy can hear me. Can you hear me, Wendy, still? If you guys can just check in again. I know I hate to keep bugging you about this, but it'd be nice to know if I'm still able to chat with anybody. Looks like I'm still being heard. Wendy said, we'll see. All right, if I have to do this tomorrow, this would be too bad. I'm really on a roll today. And here's the weird thing, though. I can't shut the show down unless they shut it down for me. Well, let's keep going for a little bit. I'll get all this information. I'll go through it. And then if it shuts down, it shuts down. If I'm off the air, I'm off the air. I'll close the page and we'll see what happens. If I have to go through this again tomorrow, I'll go through this again tomorrow. Let me see if... Let me try Wendy. Okay, there we go. We'll see who responds to me on Facebook. Anybody wants to send me a Facebook message really quickly, if you can hear me. If you can't hear me, there's not much point in doing this right now, just tomorrow. But anyway, I really set this aside for today. Well, I guess tomorrow I can do it still, too. Well, actually, Michael Volpe's going to do something with this tomorrow. I don't think I'm on the air at this point. I think something's happened. I think it's gone. Yeah, my Facebook people have gone, too. Okay. Let me close this down, and they'll see if it comes back a little later. So, let's... Yeah, it looks like the engineers have done something to us this morning. Okay. Yeah, I'll try one more time to refresh it. It's not working.